Just then Arjuna could understand the motive of the Lord by his equivocal orders. And thus, with his sword, he severed both hair and jewel from the head of Ashwatthama. He, Ashwatthama, had already lost his bodily luster due to infanticide, and now, moreover, having lost the jewel from his head, he lost even more strength. Thus, he was unbound and driven out of the camp. So far, two verses. This is the end of this very instructive chapter. And as always, the pages of the Bhagavatam opens up so many life lessons for all of us. Of course, I doubt if any of us have a jewel on our head. Maybe we're not able to manifest a Brahmastra. And hopefully no one has committed infanticide. But nevertheless, there's quite a confusing situation here, because Arjuna has put himself, really, in a situation. Of course, as the way that life goes, circumstances often dictate things that we're not really so happy with. Has anyone else had that experience? Raise both hands if you have it a lot. So life seems to dish out almost more often than not exactly what we don't want. And it's so wonderful because we get the opportunity to figure out how to deal with the situation. In this case, of course, things were already difficult enough for Arjuna, but then after the battle, then he comes to find out that his sons have been murdered. Not just one, not two, but all five. And what a distressing situation to be in, also having seen the loss of so many others, and probably at that time feeling like victory in some resolve and resolution is on the horizon, then someone thinks that they're going to please someone else by doing something that causes so much harm to another. There's a saying that the road to hell is paved with good intention. And in one sense, Ashwatthama thought he was doing something good. That's his mentality. Now, it might be easy for us to look at that and think, what an, you know, silly thought, or how could he dare think that this was the case? But somehow he thought that he was going to please who? Duryodhan. He thought that he would please Duryodhan by, even though the battle seemed to be over and they seemed to have lost, but he thought, maybe we can still win. Maybe we can get that last in to just, you know, it's like that. Anyone's ever been in an argument with someone, or let's say a debate, not an argument, but a situation, you know, they say that we always want to get in the last word, you know? It's like, yeah, but, right? And then we have to inject, and then they say, yeah, okay, I understand that, but. And then, but goes back and forth for some time. And everybody wants to have the last word. Because, as we often talk about, one of the most intoxicating things in the world is to be right. Everybody likes to be right. Isn't it? Right. Exactly. And you were right. But I was right first, so I'm better than you. So yeah, everyone likes to be right. Nobody likes to be wrong. And probably amongst devotees, at least we should give the benefit of the doubt that most devotees are probably trying to act with the best intentions. I was reading a letter the other day from Srila Prabhupada to Atreya Rishi Prabhu. Quite famous letter. I think he wrote it from Bombay. Mataji might even have been present while Prabhupada was writing that letter. In this letter, Prabhupada says that devotees are better than kings, every one of them. That's a pretty powerful statement. Whether we can see that or not, you know, sometimes we might think I'm a king, but everybody else is not. Or we may think just the opposite. But devotees may have the best intention. Of course, Ashwatthama, not necessarily a devotee. He's a son of an exalted personality, son of a Brahmin. But he has not taken up the qualities of that Brahmin, so therefore he is being called a Brahmin, Brahma Bandhu. Means like a friend of a Brahmin. But he seemed to have, he thought what he was doing was the right thing. Then after committing this, Draupadi is thrust into a very deep, powerful emotional situation and crisis. And seeing this, any good husband knows that if your wife is thrust into a deep emotional situation, then you have to come to the rescue. That's your time to exhibit chivalry ras. And you get to be the hero. And that's what Arjuna does, right? He comes to the rescue of Draupadi and he says that I shall avenge our sons by doing what? By killing Ashwatthama. Not just killing him, but he's going to sever his head from his body with his arrows. Then he's going to bring the head back and do what? Make a tea lamp out of it. What do you say? Take a bath. Yeah, he's going to let Draupadi stand on his head while she washes her hair. Sounds pretty weird, really, but we're talking about kshatriyas. This is what you do. You know, this is what you do. This is how you impress. This is real heroism, right? This is how you impress your wife. I'm going to behead this person, bring him back, and you'll stand on his head while you have bath, basically. And then he set out to do that. And then Ashwatthama became afraid, as you would do if someone vows to come and sever your head from your body. Then you might become afraid. And in order to protect himself, he launched the Brahmastra, which was kind of silly. Again, one mistake after another. Again, the road to hell paved with good intentions. But this time he was just trying to protect himself. But he actually wasn't so well schooled in this art. So he launched this Brahmastra and it was basically threatening to kill everybody. And it's really interesting if we analyze the way that the personalities are acting. And, you know, is often when I read the 15th or 16th chapter, Divine and Divinity and Divine Demon, which is 16th chapter. Definitely I always relate to the demoniac tendencies. So it's like that. We can see from the pages of the Bhagavatam, who do I relate to? Do I feel like that sometimes? Do I want to get the last thing in? Do I defend when I'm attacked or being, reprimanded for something that I've done wrong? Right? Do I launch a Brahmastra? You ever met anyone who likes to launch Brahmastras? Even though they don't really have the potency. It's like sometimes people throw temper tantrums, even though they're adults, right? So they launch a Brahmastra, threaten to kill everyone, everything is like, right? I'm sure none of you have ever done that, but you have probably witnessed people who do that kind of thing. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But it doesn't mean getting a gun and defending your house. Usually it means defending your false ego. Yay! Right? We all get to be the hero defending our own false egos. And we get to launch many weapons. And someone comes and they says, why did you kill my sons? This is not the correct thing to do. Anyway, shut up. I'll burn everyone to smithereens just so that I'm protected, just to save face, just to save myself. But once he launched the Brahmastra, what did Arjuna do? Such a good example of a devotee. He just took shelter of Krishna. He completely took shelter of Krishna. He didn't immediately defend. He could have. He could have immediately retaliated. But he didn't. It's interesting. He gave a break. He gave some pause. He gave time to do something else. Most of us live in a reactive state. There's an action and immediately there's a reaction. But actually the possibility exists where we can create space between cause and effect and have some time to reflect. Or what Arjuna did was he didn't necessarily reflect. He took shelter of Krishna and he sought advice. He sought guidance. Before he made his response, he tried to check his mentality by taking shelter of Krishna. He wanted to make sure that his next action was the correct action, that the next action was going to be pleasing to my authority, to my Lord, to my spiritual master. That's not what Ashwatthama did. Ashwatthama was busy trying to please his guru, in one sense, but he was doing it with the fleetings of his own mind, and in the process causing so much trouble. Whereas Arjuna took the time to be Krishna conscious, and to take shelter and to get guidance. And then Krishna instructed him, yes? And what did he instruct him to do? Huh? Kill him. Not right away. Because at the moment there was a Brahmastra, like a nuclear bomb coming. That's right. He said, you launch your Brahmastra, and then you can retract it. Confirmed. Jashishi Radha Gokul Nanda Ki, Sita Ram Lachman Hanuman Ki, Shishi Gorni Tai Ki, Jai Ananta Kodi Vaishnava Brinda Ki, Jai. So beautiful. So then he instructed him to launch his Brahmastra, and he did. And he retracted the both Brahmastras and prevented this intense situation. And then at that point, Ashwatthama, he captured him. And Krishna then gave him another instruction. What was the instruction? To kill him. That you should kill him. Immediately, as you vowed to do. Now, interesting, this sets up another interesting dichotomy for us. Because at this point, Arjuna has taken shelter of Krishna, he's gotten instruction, and he's followed the instruction. Now, he apprehends Ashwatthama, and Krishna gives him another instruction. But what does he do? He doesn't follow. He doesn't follow that instruction. What does he say? He says, actually, Krishna, I'm not sure I want to kill him. But I need to take shelter again and I need to check something. And this time I need to check with who? His wife. Seems like the wife supersedes Krishna. That's something that should be taken into account. Arjuna says, I need to check this decision with Draupadi. So I was hearing one lecture, and one of my God Brothers was telling a story of how one devotee spoke to a senior businessman, very high-profile businessman. And he asked him, okay, so you said you wanted to invest some Lakshmi in something, so how about we do this such and such with this land? And this person runs multi-million pound corporations. And they were having the discussion, and he was really into it, and he said, so, what do you think? And all the time he was nodding, yeah, this sounds really good. And he said, so, yes or no? And he said, I just need 2 minutes. And he said, what do you need 2 minutes for? He said, my wife is in the other room. Let me just go and check with her first. Now, this may seem kind of mundane, but actually it's an important point in the points of culture, that if you do have a wife, then that person, according to Shastra, is considered, for a man, it's considered your Ardangini, which means your better half. Yes, considered your better half. And that means half means that the two of you together equal a whole. So the whole can't act just with one half deciding. So Arjuna had made this vow first to Draupadi. Yes? And he wanted to avenge the loss that Draupadi was feeling. But before he completed his vow, he wanted to check with her first. He wanted to see what her opinion was going to be. So he also still took shelter and checked his own mentality. And Krishna was fine with that. Krishna was pleased. And so they said, okay. So they went back to the camp. But he was also a little bit peeved off, so he tied Ashwatthama up. It's described like an animal. Just to get a little bit in there. You know. Come on, Ashwatthama. Ooh. Let's go. And then he took him back. And then what happened? Draupadi, as soon as she saw Ashwatthama, what did she do? Spit in his face. Didn't she? You scumbag. Isn't that what she did? People were shaking their head. Yes. It's not what she did. She offered obeisances to Ashwatthama. Whoa. How could you do that? He's such a scumbag. Yes? He killed your 5 children. I mean, would you really offer obeisances to the man who killed your 5 children? Come on. Somebody tell me. Raise your hand. Hell no, we wouldn't do that. Bazooka time. Bazooka, right? It's like, you know, slow torture. Tie him up for many years. You know? But no, she immediately offered obeisances. Why? Because she's a silly woman, right? No. Why did she offer obeisances? Because Ashwatthama was the son of a brahmana, which meant he was basically a brahmana, even though he was a Brahmin bandhu, but he was still a brahmana. But more importantly, he wasn't just the son of any old brahmana, he was the son of Dronacharya. And who is Dronacharya? The guru of her husband. So she offered respect out of etiquette, which is pretty powerful because it shows immense control, don't you think? Ladies are generally considered more emotional creatures, yes? I mean, I know some very emotional men also, but generally considered more predominated by emotion, whereas men are meant to be logical creatures. But in this case, she was so composed. But we can imagine her heart must have been completely broken by what he had done, but she still offered respect. And then what did she do? Then she said, I can't stand to look at him while he's tied up like an animal. So please untie him. As Srila Prabhupada explains in the purports, and you've all heard all these pastimes, but Srila Prabhupada explains that this is the nature of a devotee, to be compassionate. And in one place he says that even a devotee is able to even treat their enemy with respect. Right? Vedic culture means even if your enemy shows up at your house, knocks on the door, what do? Open the door and blow them away. No, you invite them in. Please come. Have a sit. Have some water. Would you like any prasad? You're supposed to treat them even with respect. I mean, Vaishnav culture is high levels of respect and appreciation. So Draupadi speaks and she says, basically, you shouldn't kill him. And of course Arjuna was thinking, whew, glad I didn't listen to Krishna. Glad I took this opportunity to check my mentality with her. And she said, no, don't kill him. And she made this nice speech. And then she was immediately backed up by Yudhisthira Maharaj, Dharmaraj. And he said, yes, you are right. We should not kill him. Because he is the son of a Brahmana, he is the son of our guru. He should not be killed. But then one person disagreed. Everyone, even Krishna, who had already given the instruction to kill, he was nodding, yes, 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 good point. Yes, I agree with Yudhisthira Maharaj and Draupadi. Okay, we won't kill him. But one person said, no! Who is that? Bhima. I'm going to bust this guy. Right? If you don't kill him, club out. You know, gonna smash him up because he's really got that Kshatriya spirit, you know. And of course, it was also his sons. So everyone thought, oh no. Another important point, democracy, demon crazy. Prabhupada says, just hearing a lecture yesterday, and then he just kept saying, demon crazy, every time he say it after. Democracy means demon crazy. The democracy was not to kill him. There was about six or seven persons present, and they said, no, don't kill him. But one person said, kill him. And they didn't say, too bad, Bhimaji, you're outvoted, better luck next time, too bad for you, deal with your anger some other way, get over it, get a psychiatrist, work on your temper problem. No, they respected the fact that he had input, and his input was validated even though it was unique and different. And then he said, no, you're saying we shouldn't kill him because he's a Brahmin, but he has not acted like a Brahmin. Therefore, he's fit to be rejected as a Brahmin because he has actually killed innocent children. According to Shastra, this means he is no longer a Brahmin and he deserves to be punished. Vedic times means corporal punishment. No death row, no waiting around. If you kill, then you are to be killed. In one sense, it's an eye for an eye, right? So he said, we should kill him, and he gave good points. And then Krishna said, yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, so you should kill him, Arjuna. And he put Arjuna on the spot. And here it says, by Krishna's equivocal orders. What does equivocal mean? Anyone knows equivocal? Unclear. Yes. It's kind of vague. Actually, it means vague. unclear. He gave equivocal orders. Kill him. Don't kill him. What do you want to do? It was unclear. But by his equivocal orders, Arjuna understood what to do. Because Arjuna understood the heart of Krishna. And this is such an important point. Because he was not only he's not only God, but he was also serving in the position as his guru. And he understood the heart of his spiritual master, even though the instruction was unclear, and he was in the middle of his brother Bhima, and you probably didn't really want to mess with Bhima. But then on the other side, he had his wife, Draupadi, and he didn't want to mess with her either. You know, hell hath no fury, right? So here he is in the middle of a situation, and his guru is looking at him saying, just a little smile. Here we are again, Arjuna. What are you going to do now? And he tested Arjuna. He put him on the spot in front of everyone. Sometimes Krishna does that to us. Puts us on the spot. Anyone here has ever been put on the spot? And you weren't really clear? Anyone here has ever had some equivocal instructions? Yeah? Sometimes all instructions seem equivocal, right? Seems a little vague, seems open to interpretation. So it's not always so easy to know exactly what is the right thing to do. Yes? Anyone has that experience? That seems to be one of the questions I get asked the most, and I often ask, what am I supposed to do here? Which one is right? What's the right thing? This seems right from one perspective, but that definitely seems right from another. And this sadhu said this, but then that other sadhu said like that. Which sadhu do I listen to? Maybe I just make up my own mind. Am I qualified enough to make up my own mind? Is it Krishna in the heart directing me and speaking to me, or is it just the fleetings of my own mind? Do I think Ashwatthama is a scumbag, so therefore I want to punish him? Or am I taking everything on board and trying to use my own sharp intelligence? And sometimes we have to understand the heart of the spiritual master. We have to understand what will please Krishna the most. And that's not always so easy to know. But that's what it means to be first class, right? First class servant of the spiritual master knows what the spiritual master wants before he says it. Now you have to be careful with that. Because, thank you, Mother. Hare Krishna. Class finishes 8:30, right? Okay, I better shut up real quick. Okay. I'm only just beginning. I only just got to the verse. So, everybody's leaving. Okay. So like that, we need to know the heart of the spiritual master to be first class. And that takes time. That takes effort. That takes work. That takes practice. That takes making mistakes. That takes not being afraid to make some mistakes, doing the wrong thing and getting chastised and corrected to understand how to be a first-class servant. Everyone's consciousness went out the door with that Mahaprasadam. So did mine. So like that is not always so easy. But somehow, not somehow, Arjuna, he understood. And what he did was he basically fulfilled both sides. So he killed Ashwatthama. Yes? He killed Ashwatthama. No? No. Yes. Yes, no. He killed and he didn't kill. Someone else was in that situation once, right? A great king, Ambarish Maharaj. And he took shelter. He took advice. What do I do? I've been fasting for so long. I need to break fast. It's Dwadasi. What should I do? But, you know, my God. Durvasa Muni is here and I have to take care of him. And the sadhu said, no problem. You can drink water, because by drinking water, you simultaneously break fast and you do not break fast. See, it's not always so black and white. Krishna consciousness. So in this situation, simply by taking and cutting the jewel from his head, he is dishonored. And for a kshatriya, we know that dishonor is worse than death. Of course, he was a Brahmin, Brahma Bandhu. But still, the principle was that he was dishonored. And in that way, that dishonor was as good as death. And then, not only was he dishonored like that, but then he was also driven out of the community. So more or less, to the community, he was as good as dead. But he was still alive. And there's a whole nother point about the fact that he was a Brahmin. And shastrically, Brahmins are not to be punished. Brahmins are not to be punished. But because this person didn't act like a Brahmin, then he did not qualify to be treated as a Brahmin. So therefore he came under the jurisdiction to be punished like that. Anyway, I'm ending very quickly because time is up. But there are many other things to say, because the Srimad Bhagavatam is amazing. The Amala Purana. So we can absorb ourselves and purify our consciousness by hearing and reading the Srimad Bhagavatam and associating with our founder, Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Granta Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.